So we have Ken, Michael,
Bobby,
and Steve.
Michael's a director, and you don't mean Michael.
Michael, so.
Okay, this is for Michael. You said you were elected as the chair of the NFC. Good. I guess because you're a PNB member on the committee.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your position on KPFK paying its obligation to the National Finance Office? Do you think it should not pay it fully, or how much do you think it should pay? And one other question. The GM said, I didn't understand, I thought you might be able to clarify, that somebody wants KPFK to cut down its contracts with translators and repeaters, and also to stop broadcasting from midnight to 6. Are those imperatives that came from the PNC, or are those imperatives that are coming from the GM? I didn't understand that.
No,
could you use the mic?
Yeah.
The NFC recommendation, as I said, was to continue the center services payments that the previous formula had called for, which is based on a percentage of the five-year rolling average of listener support. The problem with all the stations is that listener support has been declining steadily, and a five-year rolling average means that your national central service obligation is higher than your current capacity to meet it is. WBAI for several years has had a diminished with approval of the PNB has had their central service obligation cut to only 8% of the five-year average and hasn't been able to make it. KPFK in this fiscal year just ended did pay all of its central service obligations based on what in my estimation is an inflated figure, because the earlier five-year averages and the previous general managers asked for a reduction because it only took into effect the gross listener support and not the net. In any event, that was the recommendation from the NFC. That went to the PNB, and the PNB did not approve that recommendation. The sentiment on the PNB, as I understood it, was that they thought that there might be a need for increased central services payments. But that's only, there's no such requirement. In response to the existing requirement, the general manager put forward the budget that you see, which had a reduced central services payment by KPFK because of some of the costs of the arbitration that are in that budget, and that the GM said should be part of a national obligation, not just the station's obligation. So that has not yet been resolved. There was a discussion that we talked about. In response to the motion again, which is a PNB motion, saying that all stations must prioritize payroll, insurance, and central service payments over all other budgetary items, the general manager came up with the tab that you saw, which is the an attempt to pay the full 15% of the five-year average of central service payments in the upcoming fiscal year. And to do that, she identified all the possible cuts she could make in the existing operations of the station that would free up additional funds without laying people off to meet the central service obligation. So that's where the idea of the cuts in the repeaters and the transmitters and the coffee and the utilities at night and all the other things came from, to try to find other funds in the budget that would meet the central service obligations above any other payments the station is making.
Okay, yeah, thank you. I got it.
That's
okay.
4 minutes for you.
Ollie, Steve Kaiser, Roberta, and Dorothy.
Can you call me back after Steve Kaiser, please?
Okay. Jonathan, I want to ask you about the programming change of the WBAI. Could you flesh that out a little more?
I haven't looked at the programming changes, but
microphone.
The general manager there and
at your mouth.
The general manager at BAI, Bertol Reimers, has been moving a lot of programming around. I don't know if he's taking any programs off the air, but he gave a report in the last PNB meeting, I guess Thursday night, and he seems to be positive on them raising, generating revenue and generating more listeners.
Why? Why is he positive about that?
Some of his shows, he says, are helping reconnect BAI to the artistic community in New York, which they have done historically and haven't done so much. Just like everything else, we end up stop doing what we normally do so we can do Fun Drive. It's Fun Drive right now. Fun Drive, Fun Drive, Fun Drive. And there's another one coming right after that one's done. And so he's trying to get off of that. He's bringing in some other hosts, bringing in people that maybe have a built-in audience, which I think is something that we should do. I like John's idea of repeating shows and bringing in somebody with a built-in audience, and that's the type of thing he's trying to do.
If I could just briefly add, they did a couple of things. One is he introduced a one-hour block of comedy program. He picked up Jimmy Dore from our station and some other shows in the evening. They want to try to boost their evening listenership, which he thinks he can't do with the public affairs programming they had.
Do you think this can be an inspiration to us here for programming changes?
Well, I'll say one other thing. The National Programming Committee did pass a motion urging those changes to be frozen until there could be a better process of reconsidering the programming grid there.
And what program should be frozen, Mike?
The programming changes that were made at WBAI, which were across the board and almost changed the entire grid, were taken without very much consultation with the staff or programmers there or listeners. And so
so things may not be settled there. There may be lots of negative feedback along those lines. Okay, thank you.
Is there anyone else in the staff?
Roberta, Dorothy, and then
I'm waiting for, because I want Lydia to be here for my question.
Okay, too. I'd like Lydia to be here.
Oh, Lydia.
Just slow down, because I'm kind of like Lydia. Thank you. I think it might be helpful if Lydia was here also. But this is for any of our PNB directors who can provide some information. A lot of us have been reading the stories of some archival materials that were stored and have been lost or now on eBay. I've also heard from other people that we probably have other storage sites, different places that not everyone knows. I always thought it was just Van Nuys, but it's obviously not true. So I'd like to know how this is being assessed, what might be the loss of assets, and how we can secure assets going forward. And just wondering if at this point, I think the final day for the interim insurance package that is the directors and omissions is supposed to close the 20th, and it was even reduced from our official thing. Is our organization bald from errors, omissions, and liability problems at a higher level, and how might that affect KPFK?
What I understood about the issue with the archival material that appeared on eBay is that there was a facility, I think somebody said in Rosemead, and that in 2001 it was switched from a national office obligation to a PRA obligation. And I guess at some point the PRA lost track of it or didn't pay it. Mark Torres, who's the current interim director, didn't see that material in their own compilation of what they have in their possession, but they apparently tracked down that it was material that was in that facility. So that's where it stands at this point. I think it is actual material that got auctioned off by the storage facility for non-payment at some point after the PRA should have.
Any assessment of the volume? Because was it the whole locker or just a few boxes?
They're in the process, when I understood, of inventorying all the other facilities that they have, so they have an up-to-date listing of what all their holdings are, which apparently they didn't have until this inventory started being taken this year. So that's about as much as I know about it.
I have contradictory data to what Michael said, and that is that the that storage facility was always being paid for by the national office. It never reverted to the archives control, and that it ceased to be paid a while back. We're not sure exactly when, but I don't believe that the error was because of anything done at the archives level. I believe that was always under the control of the national office, and that the storage facility hasn't been touched in 20 years. So this is an ongoing thing, which is probably why it was being paid for so long by the national office and not by the archives. I'm not absolutely 100% certain about this, but I don't know where Michael's getting his information from.
You know, for ever since I started listening to KPFK, we've been crying that they're broke. And when I did some investigation just online, just briefly, I found that from 2008 to 2011, they went through over $5.5 million of endowment money that was supposed to not be touched. And in the last couple of years, they've gone through about $1 million of endowment funds. And, I mean, are they finally running out of all this slush fund that they seem to have had for who knows how long? I'd like to know. I've been asking for a report on this for some time, and I'm not getting any information. Are they finally really broke, or is this another, you know, the story of the boy who cries wolf? And I don't understand what's going on here, and I would like to know.
Can I respond to that? Okay. It may be that when a person leaves a bequest to Pacifica, the terms of the bequest are individual to those bequests. Now, an estate or a person can leave money to Pacifica with stipulations or with no stipulations. The fact that we receive bequests, there are two definitions for the word endowment. One is that you're given money. The other is that it's a restricted endowment. As far as I know, there were several endowments, one of about years ago, and there was money borrowed against the endowment. So the principal was owned by Pacifica, wasn't supposed to be touched, except the interest was supposed to be used, but not the principal. But it is possible to borrow against it. So there may be endowments on the books with loans against them that were taken in the past. We don't have, I don't think, a full accounting of this, but I don't believe, Lydia could elucidate this, but I don't believe that there is a vast amount of endowments that have been stolen or in any way misused. But there may be loans against endowments that Pacifica created in the past.
Well, there didn't seem to be any payments on any loans showing in those financial statements. I have asked Lydia to provide me with a history of the endowments, and that has not been forthcoming. I've made a request at the audit committee that they request a report on the endowments going all the way back to 1959, because we need to know what's going on here. If we've been getting millions and millions of dollars of endowments and it's disappearing, the interest over $5.5 million is substantial, and it would have come every year. There's income right now from endowments. We don't know what endowment that income is from. It's very troubling to me, and it really makes me hold back a little bit, I have to say. I admit, you can all yell at me on how much money I give, because I don't know what's going on, and I'm very disturbed, and I don't like to say these things in an open meeting, but I guess I need to, because I just don't get the information that I think we are entitled to. Over $5.5 million in 4 years is a lot of money. In 1 year, over $2 million.
I think that there's different phraseology and things attached to different funds that have been set up. Some of them have been building funds, restricted funds. I can only tell you what the standard procedure is. The reason you don't have anything from me is because I don't have anything. And we have, just to let you know, we have three people working in the national office who are employees. We have one contract worker in the office. Two of the stations are being serviced in lieu of business managers by the national office as well. The turnover at the national office this year was staggering. There's no one that was here in January that was here in February. There was no one here in February that was here in March, and so on and so forth. So for a host of reasons, in addition to that, I haven't been able to get on, for example, the Chase bank accounts in order for me to go all the way back to even see what those expenditures were. They want me to fly back to New York and have the secretary fly back to New York. This exhaustive thing, I won't bore you. But it is trying. I spend, as I said, most of my time trying to get to the bottom of things. For example, with the storage locker thing that there was made a big thing about, right? I finally traced it back to 2010. December 28th was our last payment to that storage facility. The next thing is to find out if those things ended up in the other three facilities that we have. So everything is like being a detective for everything, and I would love to know myself. But there are different types of restricted funds. They're not all like endowments. Some of them are restricted for a purpose. Generally speaking, the auditors will call the donor and find out if they wish for it to be released for general use and so forth. I know Ross Wisdom used to do that, and generally speaking, he would get a written statement on that behalf. I don't think it accounts for everything, and I am definitely, once I can get rid of one of my five hats that I am now wearing.
Okay, I have two questions. I'll ask the first one. And this is for any of the directors. And Lydia, you mentioned that the elections went surprisingly well this cycle. I was wondering if anyone was on the elections committee and what you could attribute to the success, and if anything was done differently that we can learn from to continue for future elections.
I'm on that committee. I know Lydia might want to respond.
Yeah, this was like a big challenge. I had zero applications for National Election Supervisor by the deadline. Zero. I contacted the League of Women Voters. I contacted everybody asking. Then I decided to contact the various balloting organizations that we've dealt with in the past and the previous NESs, none of whom wanted to come back. but two of them did recommend Lynn Serpy. And so, you know, I kept just the nomination thing open, and they asked her if she would like to apply. I did not. She applied, and she was the only candidate, and we're very lucky to have her. The success of it was, I think we're going to come in way under, even the last election, which was way under. I will get a final accounting. I haven't had it from True Ballot. Also, they've done that to save us money rather than send in between invoices and so forth. So hopefully, you know, we can do that. I've got to say, what happens next time when we can't find an NES and we can't find a balloting company because of our reputation? I did hear a very interesting suggestion yesterday. What we use is an STV voting program that our bylaws actually describe. It's like we had the program, and that's what we describe as what we have to use. It wasn't used last time. And it's open source, which means that, and this is the big challenge, if Pacifica could come together sufficiently to trust any three people or any five people in the foundation set up the computers. You have, whether it's Terry Goodman or Fred Blair, any number of people who know how to count those ballots. We used to do it locally at each of our stations. Then all we would have to do would be to, you know, print the ballots and send them out, right? And not have to worry about hiring a balloting company. But we still, we don't have the trust in this foundation. And also to hire and recruit a national election supervisor. But in terms of the balloting company, that's going to be an increasing challenge to find someone that is willing to work with us, much less a national election supervisor. So, but we, like I said, we were very fortunate. I was like beside myself because I had been trying for to do this by the end of January. And Lynn worked a miracle by having, by the time she was hired and we worked out the contract, that she could carry this out in a time effective. But there are several things I think the election committee should consider next time relative to the individual contracts, by the way.
I'd just like to add, as a member of the election committee, that there were several things that improved the election result this time. One is a very good decision on the part of Lynn Serpy to send all the ballots out first class. Because when they went out bulk mail last year, there was a significant amount, there were a significant amount of members across the foundation who never received ballots. They had to be replaced. It was expensive and time consuming. The other thing is Jan made a very good suggestion to have the envelope be bright yellow so people could identify it when it came in the mail. That was really good. And also there was a huge amount of voter participation this year, and the staff were engaged. There was a lot more engagement than usual. The other good decision on the part of Lynn Serpy was to actually hold an election at WPFW. Even though there were fewer candidates than open seats, there was still the potential of write-in candidates because some candidates did apply but never actually completed their candidate process. So allowing the election to occur will probably improve that board because elections have failed at that station for at least, I don't know, 4 or 5 years at least. So that I think that was a very good result, and the quorum in that election shows it. That's about all I have.
I'd add two other things very quickly. One is that the IED insisted in the PNB on following the timetable, the bylaws timetable, and holding the elections and moving ahead with it. The second is that Leslie Radford here at KPFK forwarded the money in advance of payments, other payments, to pay for the postage and other costs of the election.
Time for my second question?
No.
Just really quick.
We've been 6 minutes since you picked up the mic with everything.
Just 2 minutes.
Second.
Okay. I wanted to know, speaking about the storage locker that went into default and was auctioned off, if there's any attempt being made to contact the buyer who's selling the KPFA archives up on eBay. He puts up about 5 to 6 tapes every week, and they're selling for about $5 or $6 each, and they're master tapes.
Yeah, and again, you know, I don't know that we went into default. I'm saying the last payment on the books that I could find was December 28th of 2010. So what we have to find from that point on is whether everything was moved out of there, who moved it. Mark Torres, who is now the interim director of the archives, doesn't recognize the tapes, but did go online and say they absolutely look legitimate master tapes, and but they never went through this office per se, because he doesn't recognize them, at least. And they did conduct an inventory of the three storage facilities that Archives has been using here, and those are complete. So that was a successful inventory, and that included our archivist, who's been with us for about 4 years. So we still haven't gotten to the bottom of that. It's something that I am determined to get to. We don't know who it is that's selling those. We don't know if it's just also individual producers that keep their masters and it never got to Archives, that kind of thing. We don't really know.
Well,
I don't want to
contact
speculate.
Him. He has his seller's name up on eBay.
You know, can we...
Is
important.
I think this is a really important issue, but I think that we need to be very tactical about how we approach him, because we do not want... He has been approached by somebody, but I don't think we want a million people contacting him saying, you know, saying anything, because then he's going to think it's really valuable. And I think that a better way of dealing with it would be to have, you know, somebody, I don't know if it's IED or the archives or a special committee, and just have somebody go and, you know, say, I want to see what you got. Oh, this is not that valuable. You know, you don't have copyright, or do you have copyright? And he won't, because, and like, try to buy it, but lowball it, and not, you know, not have a big everybody trying to contact him and making him think it's more valuable than $5 a tape.
I'll recommend that.
Are we in public comments?
Oh, excuse me. I do have the motion, which we could take now or later. I make a motion to extend for 3 minutes. Okay, so the motion is this, and I will forward, I now have it, and I can forward it to everybody as soon as I finish saying that. But, okay, D.R. Schlossberg, Amy Goodman, and Shailene Woodley are among the journalists who have been arrested while covering demonstrations against the Dakota Access Pipeline. The arrest of journalists and filmmakers covering the Dakota Pipeline is a threat to the media, democracy, and the planet. Therefore, the KPFK LSB goes on record opposing such arrests and in support of journalists who have been arrested in North Dakota, and call on the prosecutors of said cases to immediately drop said charges. Furthermore, we call upon the arresting authorities to cease the harassment and seizure of materials and film of journalists covering the Dakota Access Pipeline protests. The KPFK board secretary is requested to forward this motion to the above arresting and prosecuting agencies, and I will get that information to the secretary. And the KPFK LSB requests the program director and general manager to have these issues covered on an ongoing basis on the air, if it's deemed appropriate.
Second? Okay. Any debate or discussion? Charles?
Do you want to add the words in violation of the First Amendment in there anywhere?
Oh, sure. Okay. Good idea. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else?
Okay.
You want to ask if there are any objections?
Any objections? Hearing none? Public comments.
I would also like to add my appreciation and support to the members of the Elections Committee and everyone who made the election happen. I noticed that there's a page on the Pacifica.org website that details election violations and the response from the LES, and I think that's really good transparency. And when I saw this, I said, well, somebody on our elections committee made this happen. I don't know if the NES thought of it, but it sounds like the kind of thing that someone in Pacifica would fight for, you know, and then finally win. So however that came about, whoever did it, I thank you, so I can learn more about what happens in our elections. Thank you.
Good day. Most of you know who I am, but my name is Omar. I'm basically an outreach committee participant. Last night we had an excellent film showing, Michael Moore's Where to Invade Next, and the turnout was great. Bella was there, I was there, Reza was there, of course, and I like to just and Michael. So I would just like to just let you guys know that the outreach committee is doing their best to pretty much outreach to the people, you know, outreach to the voiceless here in Los Angeles. And it's, you know, it's my privilege to come here as a as a, you know, as part of the public comments that the outreach committee is doing our part to outreach everybody as soon as possible, because the station needs as much grassroots support as much as we need financial support. So I just wanted to share that to you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Omar, how many people showed up?
It's a full house, and there's food. There's food before. But I wanted to clear something up, and that is the confusion of town halls. Town halls mandated by the bylaws. Town halls are not to raise funds. So when you're calling this a town hall, you've got the wrong classification. Town halls are specifically for the listeners. It's like opening up your home door for the listeners to come in. You listen to the listeners. You listen to their complaints, their concerns, their advice, their comments, whatever it is. And then also, equally, you have things to inform to them. And that's the exchange. And that is the procedure, and that is the protocol of town halls. Then when you're trying to mix a town hall with the LSB, that is incorrect. It is the incorrect situation. I hope that you have time to reconsider this. I also wanted to say that compiling information for KPFK in the past and so forth, there are restricted funds on the balance sheet. Those are the balance sheet items, Dorothy, that you keep referring to. Yeah, it would be nice having an itemized list, but those are things that are going back a long while. They're compiled. They're compilation of numbers. But I agree with you. We need to have an accounting of that.
That's
They're
right.
restricted. And real quickly, the current goal of the fund drive posted on kpfk.org by the GM is 500,000. So 500,000 is the goal. She doesn't want to extend another week, but if need to, maybe 5 days. She didn't speak about a week.
Okay,
thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, I just wanted to address Sarah from the finance about the role of the board in finance. According to Article 7, Section 3, Item I, the LSB must assist station in fundraising activities. And that's must, not maybe, can, or if they feel like it. It's must. This board does not have a fiduciary requirement, as many nonprofit boards do, but must assist. And, of course, assist can be interpreted any way, hopefully, in the positive. The PNB, however, in Section 4, can delegate any other powers and responsibilities to the LSB regarding any specific station. And I would think that any of the PNB folks here might want to make a motion to have the stations require their LSB to be active participants in fundraising, because it's a little dubious to see you sit there and complain about the money but not do anything to raise it. And regarding town halls, I do echo Bella's that they are required twice a year. And a town hall is a standalone. It cannot be attached to fundraising. It cannot be attached to electioneering. It cannot be attached to anything but hearing Vox Populi and having, you know, an interactive, a dialogue between board and staff and the people. So this is from the bylaws, the things that you guys supply.
Thank you. Ellen.
Well, we're still on having a financial crisis. We're being urged in all corners to find some ways to raise money. I have been offering a way to increase our income for the last 6 months. I can't get any committee, either the finance committee or the fundraising committee or the program committee or anybody to talk about it. I've talked to the general manager about it. She says she's ready to go ahead with this scheme if just the board will give permission for our volunteers who respond to the emails to point out that they do not speak for Pacifica. They're only speaking for themselves as individuals. She wants to make clear before we send emails going out that it doesn't commit Pacifica to any kind of responsibility for what those people say. They have to be clear about that. If we'll just promise to do that, then she says if this board will authorize that. Then she will give us the password. We can open up the email conversations. We can make friends with our listeners out there. We can find out what they think. We can do what it takes to improve the programming. We can do what it takes to improve the money income. I wish we'd not spent 6 months wasting time not talking about it. You know, I wouldn't feel so bad if you talk about it and say it's a crummy idea, go away, we don't like it. Then at least I have an answer.
10 seconds.
Or you won't even talk about it. I think that's pretty shameful.
It's on the agenda.
We're going to talk about it in a little bit, Don.
How much more time is there left? Okay, real quick.
6 minutes?
A host of motions
are looming, but one in particular that I stand against, and that is to further disenfranchise listeners' participation, non-board members on committees. Since January, the leadership by a few of this board majority has made it very clear that they want as little participation from listeners as possible. And just 2 days ago, on the governance committee, it was voted to further restrict anyone from speaking other when they decide that those attending will get a minute or less than that to speak. If that's not fascism boxed in real pretty, I don't know what is. So I urge all of you with a conscience to reconsider this nonsense. I mean, this is going overboard. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that comment. Anyone else would like to speak? Okay.
I have a point of order. I'm confused about item 5, Roman numeral 5 on the agenda, the election of the LSV treasurer.
I'm not sure. I think he never resigned as treasurer. He only resigned, my understanding is he only resigned in his LSV position.
Can I respond?
Go ahead.
There's an error on the agenda. It lists me as P&B treasurer. No, I'm LSV treasurer. Actually, the P&B treasurer is Michael Novick because he's the chair of the National Finance Committee.
But,
my law states name you as then as the treasurer of the P&B. But I am the treasurer of the local station board.
Right. Okay.
I'm asking about Roman numeral 5, though. You're saying that you resigned your position as LSP, but not as treasurer of the LSP?
That's correct.
Okay, so we're not having an election.
No.
The board, where they want
to... Let me clarify. It's my understanding, Fred, correct me if I'm wrong, that you resigned as an LSP member, but you retained your position as treasurer of the LSP. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so...
Okay. Can I respond? But the LSP, you weren't chairing the LSP last meeting, right?
That was it, yes.
Okay, the LSP did elect me as treasurer pro tem, and that means I could be treasurer until December.
We didn't have to elect you at all because you were already treasurer. You did not resign as being treasurer, so there was no need to elect you to do anything unless you resigned that position.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, so we're clear on all of that. He'll continue on as treasurer. And we replaced Stephen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, so let's move the agenda to item number old business. We have a motion, I believe, is it Roberta? Item in?
Yes.
Next resolution?
Yes. It's on page 13 in your book. Do you want me to read it for the recording? It's a resolution.
Resolution of support and appreciation for Sam Agarwal, Pacifica CFO. Whereas Pacifica's CFO Sam Agarwal submitted his resignation to the Pacifica National Board on September 8, 2016. Agarwal came to Pacifica in January 2016 at a time when the foundation was already in extreme financial and organization distress. He brought depth of experience in nonprofit financial management as well as an MBA. And whereas mandatory financial audits had not been completed for years, forcing the loss of critical funding from the Corporation of Public Broadcasting.
General ledgers across the network were not up to date or maintained in a timely professional manner. Whereas the PNB and general managers at Pacifica stations have not provided a GARWAL with urgently requested turnaround plans, solid budgets, and spending restraints. In addition, the PNB often obstructed or limited meeting time to discuss vital reports from Agarwal or the outside audit firm. Whereas the KPFK has not had a full-time business manager for over a year. This position ideally is a professional who works with the GM and CFO to monitor cash flow, develop operating budgets, and business recovery plans. Other stations lack key personnel as well. Whereas, despite these impediments, Agarwal consistently performed with integrity and professionalism. He demonstrated openness and equity dealing with all stations, responded to inquiries from the LSB and Finance Committee members, and always rose above the fray while forcefully working for solutions. Be it resolved that the local station board of KPFK extends its appreciation and respect to Sam Agarwal. The board recognizes his time, effort, and expertise he dedicated to the affairs of Pacifica Foundation. Further, LSB would support a role for Sam Agarwal as consultant to Pacifica should conditions force a business transformation. And lastly, the LSB instructs that this resolution be entered into official minutes and a copy be forwarded by board secretary to Mr. Agarwal.
All right.
Second.
Any discussion?
The committee
motion requires
a second.
Okay. Oh, perfect. Okay. Discussion, Michael.
Yeah, I'd like to offer an amendment to strike second, third, fourth, and fifth whereas clauses.
The second, third, fourth, and fifth.
Okay. Amendment.
Second, third, fourth, and fifth what?
Yeah. Whereas clauses. Second, third, fourth, and fifth.
Oh, the whereas clauses.
Yeah. So it would just mean that the first whereas clause and therefore be resolved.
Oh, yeah, pardon. A point of information. Strike the word whereas or the whole paragraph?
Strike the second, third, fourth, and fifth whereas clauses.
Oh.
A clause.
That's my motion.
That's the motion. Do you have a second?
Second, third, fourth, and fifth.
Okay.
He just wants to have this.
In discussion on Ms. Michael's motion, any discussion?
It was second.
I heard a second. And so we move on. So is there any discussion? Yeah, is there any discussion? If people want to jump around in their meetings, that's tough luck. So we heard a second on the floor. I acknowledge it still. Now, is there any discussion?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I would just say that our previous CFO was probably one of the best CFOs we had. It is unlikely we'll be able to hire another good CFO because we are an organization that has a very difficult time of hiring people that are professionally trained, partially because we can't offer competitive salaries. But Sam had a very difficult time. He was constantly trying to tell us about our dire financial situations in all of our units. Yet his biggest impediment was that during board meetings, he never got a chance to speak. Yeah, our chief financial officer, highest paid employee, never had the opportunity to speak for more than a few minutes at a time because we spend more time debating over amendments to motions and deciding whether or not we should move him up or down, and we would take a whole hour. And instead of listening to the person who actually knew about our cash flow, he would try to talk to us about our cash flow. And the board just sometimes couldn't quite find the time to let him speak. So I'm for this motion.
You're speaking on Michael's amendment.
I oppose the amendment.
Yes. So you oppose the amendment?
Clearly.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, I don't see. There was no motive. The person who asked to strike these whereas clause gave no motivation for that, and I don't want to waste the time here. So I call the question on the amendment, and let's just vote on Michael's amendment.
Let's vote on calling the question.
I second that.
motion.
Second to call the question.
Call the question. So let's vote on calling the question.
All in favor of calling the question, raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. All opposed to calling the motion? 1, 2, 3. Any abstentions? One. So we're calling
the motion to call the question.
11-3 with one abstention.
Passed. Perfect. Okay, so we'll call a question to
strike.
To strike paragraphs 2, 3, 4, and 5. All those in favor?
1, 2, 3.
Those opposed?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Abstentions?
1, 2. Motion fails. 11.
Okay.
11-3.
Okay, back to the original motion. Okay, so any other discussion of the original motion? We'll go ahead and call the question. All those in favor?
Get a roll call.
Okay. I'm sorry, did someone request a roll call?
No, not an LSE member.
Not someone.
Okay. So all in favor of this, the motion put forward by...
Yes, please count.
Is it Amy Goodman?
Roberta, I...
Roberta.
Roberta, I did this.
Oh, I'm sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. All opposed? 2. Abstentions? 13-2 with one abstention.
Motion carries. Okay. Next order of business. Motion, strategic planning. Establish email communication line. Aaron,
I make a motion to extend the time, seeing we're out of time.
Okay. Motion to extend time.
Half an hour.
A second.
Second. Any objections? Hearing no objections, the meeting will be extended for 30 minutes. Okay, next order of business. Grace, I think this is your motion.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Alan,
is that vote on the treasurer chairing the...
Page 16.
No, I'm saying Appendix D, page 15.
Yes.
We just skipped over.
We did.
I think it was passed without any objection.
I had the exhibits out of order in the packet. Okay, on the
but
front
Michael's
page.
Pointing out there's another motion before that. The Finance Committee, Jim Kaufman,
right,
the author.
Right, it's my editorial problem
right now.
Okay.
So it's on page 15.
Okay, that first.
The first item of new business on page 15.
Yeah. All right. So should I read this?
I think we're going to handle the one.
All right. Okay.
Finance.
Okay. Who's going to? Hoffman.
Kim's out here.
So finance. Hoffman. I can speak to that.
Yeah, I'm on the finance committee. Is that okay if I speak to this?
Go ahead. By the way, the finance committee elected Roberta as chair of the finance committee because by resigning from the MOC, had to resign from the finance committee.
Okay. That is the backstory. Okay, here it is. It would be a policy, motion is a policy change to allow the treasurer to chair the finance committee. Obviously, that would be straightforward if it was an LSB member treasurer,
but you don't have to be an LSB member to be treasurer. So I think why this came up. The motion asks that the local station board approve an exception to the committee policy that specifies that chairs of committees must be LSB members. This exception is required to allow the treasurer, who is a board officer but need not be an LSB member, to serve as chair of the finance committee. This assumes the treasurer wishes to hold that role, and he/she is elected by members of the finance committee. Within the finance committee, we ask that the treasurer's status be equivalent to that of an LSB member for the purpose of LSB versus public committee composition.
I have a quick question. Maybe Lydia, some of the directors can speak to this. Isn't it in the bylaws that the committee chairs have? Is it in the bylaws? No, you don't have to be an LSB member to be committee chair. Okay, so we can.
That's a little weird.
Okay.
LSB passed the policy motion earlier this year on committees, and that's specifically the UK. And in that policy, it was stated that chairs must be members of the LSB.
Right. Okay. So, any discussion? Any discussion on this? Okay. Charles?
Second.
It's my understanding that we don't need to have seconds on the
board. Okay. Is that correct?
Okay. So, no discussion. Are there any objections? Hearing that, motion passes by consensus. Okay. Next order of business.
Next page, 16.
Okay. Strategic planning staff emails, I believe it's Aaron.
Yes. Okay, perfect. The Strategic Planning Committee is putting forth the following motion for consideration by the KLSB. That the Strategic Planning Committee conduct a pilot project to engage listeners. This will be with volunteers supervised by this committee who will conduct two-way email communication with listeners of KPFK. The Strategic Planning Committee requests that the KPFK GM entrust the password to access the inbox of go@kpfk.org so that emails to that address be responded to. It is understood that all responses will include the following disclaimer. This email is written by a volunteer under the guidance of the KPFK Local Station Board and does not necessarily reflect the opinions or policies of KPFK or the Pacifica Foundation. Further, the Strategic Planning Committee requests that a short ad be placed on the KPFK website inviting people to send emails to this email address and that occasional on-air announcements be made giving the email address and its purpose. Motivation. This type of market research may be useful in gauging listener interests and may help to build community support for the station. By the way, Alan Beek, under the Strategic Planning Committee, he is a member of it, has volunteered to respond to emails that come to this this email address. So we already have someone who's willing to put in a significant amount of time to do this.
Thank you. Discussion, Michael?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a member required, but I'd like to request that there be a written monthly report on the input and feedback.
Point of personal privilege, please speak up.
I'm not sure if an amendment is necessary, but I'd like to request that there be a monthly written report to the LSB about the results of this exchange and
absolutely
dialogue.
No
okay.
Problem.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Can we add that actually to the verbiage of this the monthly report?
To, yeah. Did you want to add that?
I'd like,
that
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Second. Second. Any objections?
The amendment is to have a monthly report, Jamie.
Richard wanted to speak, though.
I just want to know, is this also going to be bilingual? I mean, these emails, the input is going to be to...
If it comes in Spanish, they should be responded to.
At such a time yes, well, if we receive an email that comes in Spanish, we will get somebody to respond to it. However, if there is a desire to have it be specifically in Spanish and promoted in Spanish, then we would request that somebody volunteer and get with the Strategic Planning Committee to so that that can be coordinated. Right.
This in Spanish as well. So it has to be in Spanish.
Yeah.
Well, only if Alan, you don't speak Spanish, do you?
No.
So that would
volunteer to help with that?
That would mean, well.
I don't speak very well.
Oh. Okay, so at such a time as there is a volunteer who's willing to put in the, let's pilot it first in English, and then if there are volunteers to do it in Spanish, we'll certainly accommodate that through the Strategic Planning Committee.
Do you think it needs to be accommodated from the get-go?
I think from the beginning. Thank you. That would just be my recommendation.
Yeah, I second that.
Point of order? I don't know. Well, let me be recognized. That's great intentions, but if it's going to postpone the activity for 6 months while we're waiting to organize a Spanish language segment to promote and receive and handle the emails, it's going to kill it. This is a proposal that's been made. It's great, and it should be open to Spanish language, but it shouldn't be stopped if there's a problem getting volunteers to deal with it. There's no stop on making it in Spanish or having the Spanish promote it, the station promote it in Spanish, and so forth and so on. But it can't be, if I can't get a piece of cake, you can't have the cake. It's just right. Stop.
Go ahead, Charles.
Exactly right.
Charles? Well, while I understand Ken's objection, on the other hand, it would lead to skewed results if it proceeded without Spanish language. So I think making that a part of the proposal, with all the interest in the Spanish language community, I can't imagine there's not going to be somebody who will step forward to do the Spanish language translation. Anyone? Anyway.
It will happen.
Okay, I'm sure it will happen.
It's not a translation. If somebody writes in an email in Spanish, it's got to be answered in Spanish.
Exactly.
And then it can be accumulated. The results can be accumulated and surveyed and shared, and you can track it and say, well, Spanish language said this and English said that. I'm just saying not to stop the project with we're not doing it in Vietnamese. We're not doing it in Russian. We're not doing it in Armenian. We're just going to do it in English and Spanish. Why stop it?
Point of order. Sharon made a suggestion which could be considered to be an amendment. For her to make an amendment herself, she has to turn over the chair to the vice chair and make an amendment. Or someone else can make that amendment to the motion.
I'd like to make a motion for the monthly report, the amendment originally, to be on there. I don't think we're making an amendment about Spanish speaking. I think it's pretty obvious. I don't think it's an issue. We'll find people who speak Spanish to respond to Spanish emails. So I don't think that is an issue. I think Michael had a great idea. I promote that, and I think we can move on.
I think the point is also that the initial contact needs to be disseminated in Spanish as well.
Yes.
So that could be done in the same email. It could be one email that is in English and a Spanish translation. Oh, what a novel idea. We don't do that on the website,
Okay. So, why don't we, Mr. Secretary,
That's part of the motion, as I see.
A motion for the monthly report to be in English.
A written report. Ahead,
I'll make a motion that the further paragraph says, further strategic planning committee requests that a short ad be placed on the KPFK website, that be amended to say a short bilingual English-Spanish ad be placed on the KPFK website.
Good.
Okay.
Great.
I'm sorry, what was the amendment?
He has to Michael.
Mr.
Secretary did not.
Yeah, the word.
Between the word short and the word add in the further paragraph, that we add the words a short bilingual English-Spanish ad be placed on the KPFK website.
Okay.